March 25th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 28.
Time ever on network television, the following will be presented in Screamovision. A byproduct of Holland's vast tulip industry, Screamovision heightens your viewing experience by prompting you when to scream. Let's try it now.
Scream.
Good. And now we proudly present the following in Screamovision.
Hey guys, it's me, it's the J-Strom. Back here in Nowhere in Mulberry. What do you call this? The Cultural District or whatever. Yeah, when am I going to just drop that from the show, Steven? I don't know.
You'll never drop
it. Steven's here to my left. How's it going, Steven?
It's going great. Glad to be back in Mulberry.
Yeah, you're no longer in Frisco.
Hello, Frisco.
Well, Steven, we have someone here that hasn't been here in a while, and that's Mulberry Bill. Hey, Bill, how's it going?
It's going.
So you get moved into your new, basically, is it kind of a Waco-ish type compound? Zombie-fortified library compound.
There's a full electric fence up around it, five acres.
You hang zombies upside down and shoot them, that kind of thing. You got a firing range, tennis courts, all that. And then Mulberry frickin' has record rainfall and the whole place floods. What is that all about?
I don't know. We haven't got that much rain in a very long time. I went back to my historical library. It was completely underwater.
Oh,
I had
man.
To get all my scuba gear to get into it.
Were there any, like, floating, zombies?
Did the zombies swim?
Did they walk along the bottom of the...
Just kind of walking?
The alive ones did.
That makes no sense, also.
Wait a second.
How did zombies walk on the bottom of the ground? Wouldn't they swim? Wouldn't they float?
Their corpses, yeah, they would float.
Yeah, I got a problem.
But if they have holes
in
them, they would sink.
Yeah.
Well, those guys would, but the whole body ones.
But anyway, Bill, I'm glad you're back. You doing all right there, bud?
I'm glad to be back. I'm good.
We did four shows without you here with an empty seat, and it was very sad. And I'm glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be back.
Hopefully we can kill some zombies and talk about TV shows. What do you guys say?
Woohoo!
Also,
here
with us, we have Vanessa, our newswoman. How are you doing, Vanessa?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. It's almost like deja vu speaking to you all over again. So, Vanessa, did you survive the record rainfall in Mulberry this week?
Actually, I was prepared. I had my kit ready with duct tape and saran wrap.
I thought that was for sarin gas or whatever, but... No, I'll tell you what happened.
Centaux.
I don't know.
Centaux, yes. Now, what was about to happen is I was getting ready to do the show, and I look down, and water is coming in through the back door. So naturally, what do? Strip down to my skivvies and start pouring cat litter into bags for sandbags. That's right, makshift sandbags. All of a sudden...
What, you had, like, burlap bags just laying around?
I double bagged Glad bags.
Oh, yeah, that works.
And I don't know if it worked or not, or the water just started going down, but my father-in-law kicked the door open with a shovel and started digging trenches in my backyard. Looked like,
nice, like World War I trenches?
Yeah, like Paths of Glory with Kirk Douglas trenches in my backyard.
Sweet.
And all of a sudden, you know, my wife was like, shoot on our own troops. I'm like, what? She's like, just shoot them. They won't come out of the fog. Oh, anyway. It's a little Kubrick reference. Sorry, a little highbrow this week, you guys. If you're a film student, maybe you got that. Only the Hollywood Saloon guys would have gotten that stuff, you guys. Now, I want to make a little announcement here. I'm a real fan of old TV shows, and AOL has come out with this new thing called Into TV. Go to AOLTV.com, and you see a link there, and you can watch old shows. What shows, you guys say? Steven, you're wondering.
What shows?
What shows? I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to tell you in a different way. I'm going to play the theme song, and you tell me what the show is. What do you guys say?
Let's go.
You guys all ready for this?
Sounds like fun.
Okay, here we go. Here is the first one.
I never missed that show.
Anybody know what it is?
Of course we know what it is.
Everybody knows. Babs.
All right, what is it?
Head of the class.
Head of the class.
Howard Hessman.
All right, well, you know, that was kind of easy, but what about this one?
Oh, God. I love that show. The theme song kicked ass. Sometimes the
world looks perfect. Nothing. Come on, Cousin Larry.
All right, what is it?
Daddy. Was it Serge or a Balky?
That's right. You guys, who's going to say the name?
Perfect Strangers.
That's right. A show that was genius.
Cousin Larry, I think, disappeared off the face of the earth after that.
Ah, did he kill himself with a starter pistol or something?
And then Bronson Pinchot went on the surreal life.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that guy kind of look like an older version of, what's his name, Shia LaBeouf or whatever his name is?
Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, he does actually. Yeah.
It's probably his uncle or something that molested him. What am I talking about? So this next one is one of my favorite shows as a kid. I kid you not, I've seen like every episode, and for some reason with a fantastic like fascination, I watched this show. Early
to rise. All right.
It's Magritte. Between I cooked and cleaned and went out
of my head. I think you've watched
Going Through Life with Blind Design. Stuff to see. You mean Polly Holiday, Flo, and Vera? And I sing this in my house naked. Town, and I'm feeling good. That's right, it's Alice.
I always wanted one of those Mel's caps.
Yeah, Mel Sharples.
Where did you get those things from?
And here's a little bit of trivia. Before we had the Hollywood Saloon kind of Kubrick reference, okay, Alice was actually a Scorsese movie called Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. It was turned into a TV show.
They had that on.
What do you guys think about that?
I
highly doubt
fascinating.
A movie where a woman is abused has anything to do with a show that a woman is a waitress.
I know, but they did it, and it's pretty crazy. Now, this is an older show. Let's see if you guys know what this is.
The end of the Civil War was near when... Oh, man. I watched this thing on Nick at Night almost all the time.
I love these themes that tell the story of the show in the beginning.
Yeah,
they need to have more of those.
That's right.
Lost should have more, like a theme song like that.
F Troop. Now, here's an easy one, but I just had to put it on here for nostalgia.
Well, the guy that was in F Troop, wasn't he in Mom's Family too, later?
Yeah,
on?
Was it Ken Berry or something like that?
Ken Berry.
He, the Tom McCann spokesman at one point.
Yeah, he was like the real lily-livered colonel or whatever.
Yeah. Now, here's one that we all know, but for nostalgia's sake, let's check this one out. Show me that smile again. Ah, yes. Oh. I sure do love Jesus, you guys.
I miss Boner.
What? Playboy
model. Yeah, Boner. One of the oddly named characters in television history. Boner. As long as
Leo got his start, too.
And remember, Boner's real name was Sylvester Stabone. Who wrote this show?
Well, it certainly wasn't Kirk Cameron.
Now, here's one of my favorite theme songs.
Because only Kirk Cameron would be a tight ass enough to get a hot Playboy playmate kicked off the show.
Yeah, because he's so... How long has he been an uptight Christian like that? Like, the way...
I don't know, man.
How long has he been living the way of the master is what I want to know. Yeah. Quite a while. Now, this next theme song, this is the last one, because we got to move on, but... it's up there with the Munsters being one of the greatest themes. Let's check it out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell yes.
Remember my Wonder Woman uttering? All the world's waiting for you and the power you
possess. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights. In your satin tights.
My God.
Fighting for your rights. Oh, hell yes. They don't do it like that anymore. Oh, man.
They should have got Helen Reddy to sing that theme song.
That was freaking genius, man.
Man, yeah. What happened to them when they used to sing the song?
Yeah.
What was happening
in the show? Remember, they don't have different strokes on NTTV, but they need to get it. They need to get it now.
Yeah, there was a point in time where TV theme songs were even more popular than the TV show. Like,
yeah.
Greatest American Hero was... They had a huge theme song, but what, that show only lasted like 2 seasons.
Yeah, I remember my aunt had the 45 of the Hill Street Blues theme.
I had the 45 of Welcome Back, Kotter.
Yeah, I mean...
So did I.
With the adapter.
Now, there's all sorts of shows.
I love those little... I used to throw those little plastic adapters.
Now, on Into TV,
I thought they were Chinese throwing stars.
Into TV has a lot of other shows on there. Welcome Back, Kotter. It's got Briscoe County Jr. It's got Pinky and the Brain, Chico and the Man. You know, I could go on and on. And one of my favorites...
Why they would ever add Chico in the Man?
I don't know.
That was quite possibly the worst show on television.
But they do have... Looking good! Now, they do have Freakazoid, which was one of my favorite wacky cartoons. And they have like 13 episodes of that. There's 24 in the run, and I hope they get all of them. Or at least put it on DVD or something so I don't have to watch it on my computer. But
Freakazoid was a great show.
Did you say you've had problems watching the stuff on your computer, Bill? Into
TV?
Yeah,
certain things won't show... because it uses that digital rights management.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of problems with that on my system.
I couldn't watch anything in Mozilla, so I just used Internet Explorer, but hopefully
that'll work
out. Yeah,
you would never be able to watch anything in Mozilla.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. Hopefully they get some other cool shows like Sigmund and the Sea Monster, something like that. I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I would love some Sid and Marty Krofft programming on Into TV.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now, before we move on to the entertainment segment, I just wanted to say that we're not going to talk any new release movies this week. Let's just talk about some TV shows and stuff that we missed. Now, before we move on, I got a strange voicemail that I wanted to play for you guys, and let's check it out. You guys ready?
Hey, man, you know where Mulberry stick goddamn something. Hey, man, I don't like what you're saying, man, about that one thing. Hey, man, where's Bill at? Where's Mulberry Bill? I love my Mulberry Bill. He's funny, but Steven and breathing on phone and stuff. And this just giggle all the time. Hey, man. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, man, I like The Apprentice.
What?
He likes The Apprentice.
I like The and I like the news. Oh, man, what the... All right, you clean this damn room, you damn can. Damn, what the... What are you doing? Come here, woman. I got me a power saw. I'll kill you.
Oh, my God.
Is he in a meth lab?
I don't know. Where's my Doral's? I need a lot of Doral. I need smokerette. All right, I gotta go. Keep it up.
Keep it up.
He needs to go get some Cimarrons. I'm actually slightly confused by that. Because
Genius.
No one else is calling.
All right, guys. After that, let's do some entertainment.
You know I'm not comfortable getting busy with myself.
Well, you're in luck. This happens to be my specialty. Here are some tips. If you can't get over the fact that you're doing it to yourself, sit on your arm until it falls asleep, then pull it out and use that. I call it the stranger.
Scream.
Now, guys, this week we're not going to do any movies because, hey, there's no good movies coming out, all right? No, I don't know. That's new Spike Lee movie. It looks pretty good, I guess. Now, since we're not going to do film, let's go ahead and check out what's on our TiVos. Now, guys, before we get into our regular shows like The Apprentice and 24, in 2 week break or whatever we had, I've watched a couple of shows that I don't normally watch, one of them being American Idol. And I was watching this thing, you know, it seems like Paula is really just breaking his balls is what I'm trying to say. And in this clip, she is slurring her speech. I believe she's drunk. You guys check it out. Tell me what you think. Just wait for Paula to speak. She sounds drunk.
Paula, you're talking rubbish.
You cannot dance. You cannot dance, Paula, Simon.
This is a singing competition. It's a singing competition. It's not a dancing competition. It's a singing competition. In case you've forgotten.
Any guy who knows how to dance, he can't handle it.
Ryan. What has happened to my once normal family? You know,
it's shut up, Ryan Seacrest.
We were all very normal, weren't we?
Thank you, Foggy. He killed all of them. But that show is horrible. Why are people still watching American Idol? Is what I want to know.
I watch it sometimes. I'll admit to that.
It's got very cute kind of southern like girl who's not very bright on there, but.
I like the premature graying guy that Taylor.
Yeah. What's funny is Simon,
along with all the other 60-year-old women,
Simon Cowell has a new show he's producing called American Inventor. Have you guys checked this out?
No, I wanted.
Yeah,
to see
I
that.
Like it a
oh,
lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Did you guys see the lady with the red bow thing?
Yes.
Yes.
I've got
great.
I've got a clip of this. Let's just check this out.
The Naughty Knot lingerie. Oh my God. It's not your ordinary lingerie. You're a man, you come home from a tough day at work, and you find this. Your gorgeous girlfriend, wife, mistress, wearing this and a smile. And she says to you,
hey, baby, I have a gift for you. Do you want me to unwrap it?
Bam!
Oh, hell yes.
Look at all the guys.
Gina. Gina, what are you doing?
Doug, relax.
Is that lady never seen breasts before or something? She's like, oh, my God. Oh, breasts!
I don't get that.
How long before the show is canceled?
All the guys were really digging it, but the woman had to be a friggin' bitch about it.
Yeah, she's like,
and,
oh!
Like, go get her coat and cover the girl up.
Yeah! Man, that show will be canceled in a fortnight. But a new show returned, and I don't know if you guys have ever watched this reality show. It's called Blowout on Bravo. It's with Jonathan Anton.
I've got banging hair.
Yeah, hot babes, cool, buff guys.
Banging.
But it's about Jonathan Anton, this, like...
And how he likes to cry on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's this hairdresser who has a couple of salons, and he's starting his business.
We got picked up by Sephora.
And the dude cries on every episode. Or no, he not only cries, but he also gets pissed off and kicks or hits something. Here's a good example of that when he starts yelling at the two broads that run his company.
Yeah, I'd love to know how many products are out there.
Really simple.
We've sold close to 1 million units in a very short period of time.
Wow.
Yeah. It's great.
Really good stuff. I'm really happy about it. But as you both know, the ingredients in the bottle,
I've got such a whiny voice.
So, Tina, you know, that's what I want to know about.
Well, if you let me get to my marketing presentation.
I'll let you get to your marketing presentation.
You've been asking and asking and asking about hairspray. So we have...
He's very curious about hairspray.
Jonathan product, finish.
He's also very curious about men's asses.
That's the design. And then we have Create Root Volume and the comp.
What?
It's my spray, right?
It's your spray, and what's amazing is...
He's got his whole new line of his products.
These are the cans they're coming in?
These are the cans.
I hope they're banging.
I know that I was calling it Root Lift, right?
Right.
But the names are already on the bottles, Tina. I mean, are these the names?
These are the names. Create Root Lift and Finish
Control. He asks a lot of obvious questions, doesn't he? So the spray is in a can? It's in a can.
And we had to move forward. Sometimes
this is the name?
We don't have the time.
It's the name on the can.
Is this a chair I'm sitting on?
Should I know about the name?
It has four legs.
I've called you like four times on this. You're too busy to talk to us sometimes, so we have to move the ball forward.
But it's my name on the bottle. You know what I mean? So that's what matters the most to me.
Whoa, did he just shoot someone?
he kicks the door open. What? Yeah. I don't think he's gay. I don't think he's a heterosexual. I think he just loves himself more than anything. Yeah. They'll show long scenes where he's doing his hair and he's like overly fake baked tanned and he's got these comically tiny hands that he's
Did
always...
you ever see that one episode where he had to wash his hair with bottled water?
Yes.
He calls in to the girls and he's like, hey, we need to look into this bottled water thing. I've washed my hair with bottled water this morning because my water was out and it's banging.
Yeah, he's like, it's banging, man. But in that same instant, he's like, did you forget to pay my water bill? And she's like, oh my God. And he's like, I don't have water, but I got this idea. Filters in shower heads that filter the water where it's like a mountain spring. So if you look in the Sephora catalog, Dale, I don't know if you guys get it, I do. But you could order these like $300 shower heads that have filters in them for...
No shit.
He actually developed them.
Are they banging?
They're totally banging, man. But Blowout is... You thought Project Runway was freaking soundbite genius. This show is soundbite genius. I can't wait to get into some more of that.
I didn't even know it was back for a second season.
It only had two seasons.
They've had like three seasons up until...
See, I just started watching it last year, so I missed the first season then.
So anyway, let's get to The Apprentice. Now, we have two episodes of The Apprentice to talk about. Let's go 2 weeks ago, and they had this little Chevy Tahoe thing they were doing. And you have Teresa's idea was to have, like, a day of riding in carriages and crap.
What? You're trying to sell a car, and you're going to drive them in carriages?
Yeah, and they were going to have, like, a golf course and all this stuff, and...
Well, I can understand a golf course.
The other girl, Andrea, had this idea of like, it was kind of like sporting day. You know, they were going to have skeet shooting, but they wouldn't allow shotguns on the property. So instead they did like golf cart racing.
These people have the worst ideas, it sounds like.
Cart racing isn't that bad.
It looked fun.
I had a problem concentrating with that girl. Teresa's got the most gigantic jugs I've ever seen.
Yes, she does. And even that Russian guy goes, if her brain was the size of a breast, she'd be a lot smarter, or something like that. But anyway, here's the main thing.
Yeah, and I couldn't tell if they were real or not.
The best part of the show is when they hired this horrible comedian to talk to these old guys.
Oh, yeah, that blue, like, lesbian comedian.
And let's go ahead and listen to that, because this is, if you want to hear
I couldn't believe they played half of this stuff on national television.
If you want to hear someone bomb on stage, listen to this.
I hope you guys enjoyed your lunch. We've got a great surprise for you all. Everybody, please say hello to Corey Kahaney.
Corey Kahaney, remember that name. Someone not to ever hire.
For me. It's so exciting to be here.
Wasn't she on Last Comic
really
Standing?
Yeah. The Hempstead Lake Park. Anybody from the South? I don't want to offend anybody from the... You're from the South? You know, there's a cliche about the South. They say, you know, they're not the brightest bulbs. Yeah, I'm controversial. You should know that. I'm sorry. I gotta speak.
You're also horrible.
God.
Wow.
That's a big career with the cars. Laugh at yourself.
Boom.
I don't understand golf. What, it's like $150,000 a year to stand in the woods and go...
A comedian is on stage, and I am horrified. And I am certain that we are offending half the people here.
Men only want to have sex one time a day. Your favorite time of day is first thing in the morning. I mean, I understand you get that natural physiological state of arousal. I understand, but you are so proud of it. It is like, look at me, and look at that, look at that, that's for you. Like, you're
what?
We know you wake up that way with
she had nothing.
No, it's not... All right, well, I hope you had fun.
We're just going to be talking about some features about the Tahoe.
She was saying she was horrified by this comic, yet they hired the comic? Did they not screen him?
And they paid her.
That's the reason she got fired, Teresa did. She gets fired, and I have a clip of that, but she put other people in charge of things and never followed through on them, never checked up on them or anything. She's bitching at the Russian guy for not getting a generator, but I don't think she ever mentioned it to him. The guy, but that was the worst bombing I've ever seen. Man, she was so unfunny. And here's what happens to her.
Ultimately, in the end, she's responsible for managing the comedian and the people that we hire, and I don't think that was communicated well enough.
I thought you might bring back Charmaine for that reason.
Charmaine picked a comedian that was terrible and she overpaid him. Tara created a horrific golf event. Leadership.
Tarek.
Charmaine, can I tell you your biggest mistake was not bringing Charmaine in?
Teresa, the comedian was a big event. That was a failure. The spokespeople was a failure. These are two things that Charmaine
did. Didn't that comedian
did
get paid $1,700 too?
The concept.
Yeah,
wow.
I think so.
The other team had great.
I could have
concepts.
Done that for $1,700. Bomb.
Now, the Chevy Tahoe to me is a rock climber. It's a rock climbing thing. You had a horse and buggy. Whose idea was the horse and buggy?
Actually, it was mine to try and do something.
I hate it.
Uh-oh.
Teresa, there's a real question about your leadership abilities, but maybe even beyond that, let's face it. You used a horse and buggy. The concept was no good. You had so many things going on. Teresa, you're fired.
Uh-huh.
Sorry that you say that, Mr. Trump.
You and your two breasts of fire.
I'll step it up, Mr. Trump.
Gigantic.
Small, squishy looking head.
If you can.
Yeah, that Tarek guy. I'll try to do better, Mr. Trump. It's like, go back to Star Trek or wherever the hell you came from.
Tuvok.
That dude's got a Vulcan name, Tarek. So anyway... there wasn't a lot of Brent action that week, I guess. So, you know, they're always doing a little bitching at him, but they did take him to, like, this undersea place where they got to swim with sharks, and that was pretty funny, where Brent...
Weren't they all making fun of Brent's weight?
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, oh, he's fat, he'll be... I was like, my God, that's rude.
From the moment that guy showed up, no one has liked him, and I think it's because of appearance, you know?
I mean,
well
it's not only appearance, he's an asshole.
Well, here's the thing. I was kind of rooting for him because I knew everyone was treating him bad. But this week's episode where they deal with the cereal, the trail mix, grape nuts, or whatever, he's like,
yeah,
I'll be the last one standing. I'll show them. They don't like me. I don't like them back. They're bitches or whatever. And it's just like, dude, okay, I can understand they're being mean to you, but where's his confidence coming from? Because you got nothing, dude. He has these horrible ideas.
He
like
keeps saying that he acts like he's this invaluable member of the team, but he doesn't do anything.
Honestly, nobody listens to any of his ideas.
Here's a good example where he talks about how he bailed Andrea out when he's late. Remember, they're trying to go to meet Trump, and he's like, I just got out of the shower, or whatever. Here's a clip of that.
Okay, Synergy. Let's meet all up in the room, get ready to go.
Synergy.
Come on, guys, we're going to be late.
I'll be right there.
Brent!
All right, I'll get my pants on. I'm out of here.
It's 7:01.
Okay, I'm out of here.
Let's just all get up there and wait for him.
Yes.
He, like, gets in the shower at 6:45.
It's ridiculous. The entire team was heading to post Cyril, and Brent was running late again. Brent's already a drain on time, resources, and energy. To make somebody additionally 20 or 30 minutes late is a big, huge deal.
Normally, I have been ready on time.
You haven't been ready on time. We were late for the last event because you were ironing your pants.
Oh, come on.
It's on tape.
First of all, I was up till 4 a.m. and I told you that
all right,
that
you
night
know
for
what?
Your
I'm
event,
not,
working
not
hard for
that.
You as the employer.
No, you weren't. You weren't
employer.
Doing what I asked you to do. You
Excuse me, I was up till 4 a.m.
Well, you
oh, you're full
job.
Of it. You're so full
job.
Of it. You did a horrible job.
I did
we
a horrible
pulled
job.
It out of the hat for you. You unappreciative, you know what.
Whoa.
Andrea doesn't know how to keep her big mouth shut. That's not someone who should be running one of Mr. Trump's companies. That's someone who should be locked up in a prison somewhere.
All right. You pulled it out of the hat for me.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a multimillionaire and you make $50,000 a year. Okay.
Ooh. That was a little tactless there.
Snap.
Oh, snap. But you know what Brent sounds like? Kind of like a munchkin from Wizard of Oz. Like, man, yeah, I bailed you out. Yeah.
If it wasn't for me.
But, you know,
Brent has the second worst hairdo. Of
yeah, I love when they show, it was the previous episode where they showed him doing his hair and, like, he just keeps hitting it and moving it, but it's just like, nothing's happening.
I know, that's why I was like, he spent all this time getting ready, but his hair looks like crap.
And his biggest, now what happens is the whole task is to design a billboard for Grape Nuts trail mix, right? Andrea's team, the redhead who won the last one, I'll
who
tell
thinks
you,
she's her shit doesn't stink.
And I don't know why, but for some reason I think she's kind of cute. I don't know
I
why
I think she's cute too, but she's got that, like,
yeah, if someone was like, well, hey,
about her.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm a multimillionaire, you make $50,000 a year. And I know the reason she said that is because he didn't call her a bitch, but he said, you know what, but which shows how harmless Brent is. I mean, come on, the guy is just harmless. He's got nothing. He's got a big bag. He's got a bottomless bag of nothing.
I would have had to whip out the C word on her.
Yeah, but it shows her, you know, I'm really good at design. I have a multi-million-dollar sticker company, so I'm going to design this billboard. And she's working, and I love this, and this is why I got a kick out of Brent. She's working it, and they're like, oh, that looks great, Andrea. And he's like, what if you make it orange instead of yellow, just to see what it looks like? Just do me a favor, make it orange for a second. Like, Brent, we don't have time for that. Everyone just has to pull Brent aside, like, we don't have time to mess with that right now, Brent. He's like, I'll show them someday. And there's, before they go to the boardroom, he's sitting with the two guys from the other team, you know? And remember, they're like, who do you think's going to go? And he goes, it's not going to be me. You watch it, boys. I'll be the only one coming back, or whatever. It's like, the guy's insane.
He reminds me of, like, a Scooby-Doo villain.
Yeah. He's so harmless, but he's got all this talk. Now, naturally, what happened was Andrea's team failed because they had too much crap on the box. And Team Gold Rush, they had, like, both billboards I thought were totally stupid looking. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
I'd like to know who picked the name Team Synergy. Every time I hear that, I think of that Gem cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I think of too.
But I thought Gold Rush was a horrible name too.
Does Andrea have, like, star earrings that she can press?
Yeah. Since Gold Rush wins, one of Andrea's team, Synergy, has to go. And I think Brent is pretty much safe because they don't give him anything to do, right? And they're even talking about that. He'll never get fired because we need to give him enough rope to hang himself. But his problem is, like everyone else,
he takes more than enough rope to hang himself.
He doesn't know when to shut up. And when they talk about Andrea, he's like, I can smell her stink from over here, you know? And let's listen to what happens.
I think that it's important in business to learn from experience, like whether it's weeks or years or decades. I mean, you learn from experience, not just a specific task. Is that right?
I do agree with that, Mr. Trump.
Look, your team can't stand you.
They
think you're a loser.
They
think you're
guts.
A loose cannon. And they really don't
think
they function very well with you. In fact, they think that they're not doing well because you're such a negative influence on the team. Now, I could send you out and bring you back and keep sending you out and bringing you back, but I don't want to do that. Brent, you're fired.
No. No, Mr. Trump.
I'm supposed to be the last one standing.
I'm not being used to my ability.
Hey.
Go.
I'll show all of you one day. I'll kill you all.
I was ready
for... And I would have got away with it if it wasn't for you pesky kids.
Weren't you guys ready for him to say that? I'm going to kill every one of you.
It's my ability.
So anyway, that's The Apprentice. I can't wait to see what happens next week. But I'm sorry, Brent was entertaining. Now what do they got? This early in the show, does anyone have any idea who's going to win this thing yet?
No, but it still looks like a Benetton ad. So until they narrow it down, we won't know.
They all got rid of the most unattractive guy, which I thought was kind of BS. If you're not attractive, even Trump said.
No, there are some other unattractive guys on there.
Oh, okay.
The most unattractive guy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just, I thought it was really lame of them. We're like, Mr. Trump, we failed because we were busy yelling at Brent the whole time. No, that's your fault.
Yeah.
Every year they have one guy or one girl that is just a complete and total tool. Last year, or the year before, it was that Marcus.
Yeah.
That they all hated on the one team.
And guess what?
It's like Brent.
And that's what's great about this, is they thought Brent was their whole problem. Now that he's gone, you get to see that it's the
it
doesn't
them.
Matter. All right, guys, let's get into some 24. All right, 24. Let's think back a couple of weeks ago. Let me think I can try to remember. No, they're in CTU, and the gas has been released, and they're sealed up. Oh, yeah, Edgar just dropped dead, and everyone's sad. And
Chloe's turned mute and pouty again.
Because she got to see Edgar, or she can still see Edgar, apparently dead with foam coming out of his mouth, and she keeps staring at it.
And Pony Boy tries to talk her down.
We got an overly wrinkly Pony Boy. Why does that guy have so many wrinkles? Does he spend years in the desert or something?
Come on, Chloe, breathe.
Alcohol.
Stay gold. Stay gold, Chloe.
I love that where he's like talking about the breathing. She's like, what is it with the breathing with you? You know, they have to get to some kind of terminal to basically turn the AC unit on. Is that what you guys think it was, pretty much?
Yeah, that's whenever they send Lynn to do it.
Yeah, to make a long story short.
They say, Rudy,
yeah,
go run
and
do
it. He had a great, there was a great Rudy moment in the show where they go, hey, Rudy, you're going to have to go upstairs, flip the computer on, turn on the AC, and you're going to drop dead, but you're going to save us all. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. But there's a security guy like, no, we're not. No, I'm going to die too. So
and he says, come on, pull it together. Goonies never say die.
Yeah. But Goonies are about to die. And what was funny about that security guard, have you guys noticed, remember the Star Trek term red shirts? All the security guards in
CTU. They all wear red shirts.
They all wear red shirts. Yeah, that's a hilarious joke. I know they did that on purpose.
They had to.
But the little girl, the security guard who's going to die because he has to breathe in the gas, his daughter's like, will you wake me up when you get home so I know you're safe? He goes, yeah, honey. And it's just like, they were like, come on. They're trying to make it as sad as possible.
And the best is whenever he couldn't hold his breath anymore and he sucks it in and goes, I'm okay. I'm okay.
And starts like shaking. And then, you know, we get to hear Lynn, or, you know, Samwise, you know, Ralphie.
Rudy.
Hobbit.
Ralphie.
Wasn't he Ralphie in the Goonies? What was his
name?
I thought that was his name.
It was Mikey.
Yeah. Mikey, yes. Damn me. I thought I was a Goonies fan.
You're no Goonies fan.
Yeah. I know Chuck and
Fratelli.
And Data. So anyway, he chokes to death and dies. Now, I think Kim Bauer is the most poorly written character in the history of television.
No, not... Well, Kim Bauer and Kim Hardcore UK Raver.
Yeah, but, you know, her dad is like, I love you, Kim, and if we ever get out of this, I'd like to, you know, take you out for a cup of coffee. No, Dad, people die around you. It's like,
stay
okay,
away from me.
Okay.
You've got cuties.
Yeah, listen, you know, I would say, like, okay, this dude saves the country, like, every year, and you can't just have a cup of coffee with him when this is all
every
over.
24 hours, he saves the
country. No, I need to go have sex with Pony Boy.
Yeah, and he's like, that man is 20 years older than you. I love when he got him in a chokehold. Like, he's like,
see, Thomas Howell, you're not going to get away with wearing black makeup around me. Yeah.
So,
what happened to your face? You've got wrinkly and gray.
Yeah, did you?
You look older than me now.
Samwise saved all of them because the gas was eating through the seals, I guess. It had some kind of irritant. Seals, yeah. Those poor seals were being eaten alive.
They were clubbing the seals.
Didn't you guys think it was hilarious when they're like, what rooms are safe? Okay, Buchanan's room, he's safe. The cell with Samwise in it is safe. And Tony's room is safe. It's like where all the main characters are.
The major character is safe.
Yeah.
except Edgar.
And of course, Tony, he's like, Peter Weller's in here. He killed my wife. I'm going to kill him. And
you son of a bitch. What did you do to Kurtwood Smith, RoboCop?
Clarence Bodiger. He was about to stab him with the syringe, and he was like, sayonara, RoboCop. And right then he goes, no, wait, I can't. I'm not that kind of guy. And right then, even though Peter Weller has been tortured and felt so much pain, he could play possum, apparently. And he grabs a syringe and stabs Tony in the heart.
See, I was confused there. I was thinking maybe the guy that was supposed to be conducting the torture was in on the thing, and he wasn't really giving him the bad stuff.
Yeah, what was it? Were they injecting stuff that made it feel like fire going through your nervous system or something?
I have no friggin' idea. I don't think they were injecting anything. I think they were giving him milk.
Here's what happens when Jack finds Tony almost dead. Help!
No, not my soul patch. Hang Stay on. Alive.
She's gone.
And we actually see Jack Bauer cry here. Poor guy. Maybe Kim is right. Everyone does die around Jack. Tony!
Does he do the great?
No!
That would have been great, but... Were you guys bummed out when Tony died?
Oh, yes, but wasn't it last year that Tony, like, saved the day?
Yeah, he shows up just in time. Vanessa, did you not like Tony? Or did you think his character's usefulness was used up?
I think she disliked his soul patch immensely.
Yeah. Yes. It kind of, you know, after a while you're like, okay, move on, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? 24 started off really good this season, really quick, moving along, and now it's starting to drag ass a little bit. They need to pick it up again.
Now, do you think that they're killing all of his friends off for a reason? Like, he's going to go hellbent and just start wasting dudes for the second half of the season?
I think he's going to hide in the woods and become John Rambo.
Now, there's something weird going on with the vice president here. He's trying to take over.
Wasn't the president in Twin Peaks?
Leland Palmer from Twin Peaks is apparently trying to take over or something.
Yes, he wants to have sex with his daughter.
Yeah, and wrap her in plastic. So she's dead.
She's dead.
Wrapped in plastic. So what happens is they're declaring martial law. Let's cut into this new episode. They're declaring martial law on L.A., but they're not calling it that.
Leland Law.
The troops are moving in, and the president's wife keeps saying that, you know, he's just setting you up to take the fall so he can become the president or whatever.
And then Delta Burke's going to move in, and we're going to design clothes together.
They're going to design a race of robot women.
And Meshach Taylor is going to come sing for us.
No, not Meshach. Let's not forget that President Palmer, Wayne Palmer, calls up Aaron, and he's like, I have some important information I need to come out to you to give you. And the vice president hears about this, and he's intercepted with, like, this hit squad, which I believe it's Mackie from the S.H.I.E.L.D. show up. And
it's the vice presidential hit squad.
Yeah. And also, Homeland Security comes in to take over CTU, which I don't know what's going on there. Julian Sands is dealing with this woman who has some kind of microchip or something. And she's going to give it to them for all this money. Now, Jack has a way of finding her through...
He calls Desmond.
Desmond from Lost, the guy who lived in the hatch. We know where he went now. He went to 24.
He went to 24, and he started having sex with an Eastern European spy.
And he's fallen in love with her brother. And so he won't cooperate with Jack. He's like, hey, the German intelligence agency, we've got all this work on her, and we can find out terrorist cells and blah, blah, blah. So Jack's like, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll give you the wet list. It's a list of every
active
single...
gay porno star.
Yeah. It's a list of every single terrorist threat that we know about or whatever. So let's trade. Yeah, so he's like, okay. That sounds good. So they catch this girl, and Jack questions her, and this is what she says. It's very shocking news.
The safe house is a manufacturing facility at 12451 Satikoi Boulevard. As for the data isotope Bierko, it's something that I received from a contact at the Department
Craig
of Defense.
Craig Bierko?
What's his name?
Her name. Audrey Raines.
What? You lied to me.
She sold me the information, Mr. Bauer. Apparently she had the price.
Oh. Dun, dun, dun.
Put her in the car.
So Audrey Raines had something to do with this. I guess Jack...
Nothing but the Kim Hard K UK raver.
So I don't know what's going on here, but I'm still entertained by the show, but I'm getting confused. What about you guys? The thing with Wayne Palmer?
I'm always entertained by the show. But
the show is like great. I thought that Tony's death was great. Yeah, it's got a lot of good moments.
Peter Weller, I mean, come on.
Peter Weller escaped somehow. I didn't get that, but that's enough with 24. We'll check back next week.
You are move, creep.
Yeah. Hey, it's funny that you say that, Bill.
It is?
Scream.
Wait, why are we getting the Lost? There's no new Lost, are there?
There was one new Lost this week.
One.
Unbelievable. Alright, before we talk about Lost, let's listen to what happened.
Honey? Are you alright? I think I'm just a little lightheaded.
Well, you spent a lot of time around the baby. Maybe you caught something. At least talk to Jack.
Really?
She's doing opium.
I'm okay. Thank you.
That's what she's planting in her garden.
She found absinthe in the plane wreckage.
She's chasing the dragon.
For 3 days now, and I can't help but get the sense that he's just not motivated to cooperate with us.
And how are we going to motivate him, John?
I think we need to bring in some new blood.
Obviously,
we need to kick his ass.
What do you think about Anna Lucia?
So why don't you draw me a map?
She annoys the crap out of me.
We'll go out there, we'll find it, and everybody will believe you.
Doesn't matter what I do. I'm dead already.
And I'm going to sing show tunes. Hello, Frisco.
Don't remind Steven. He's got to go back there.
No.
Things are going to play out just like you said.
Whoa.
I love the violin work.
It's to his balloon.
Yeah, I know.
How did you get him to do this?
I want a balloon, too.
I showed him my breasts. He said, please put them away, I'll draw you a map.
Is it 100% sure?
I trapped him in the room with my B.O. Doesn't she, Anna Lucia, look like she probably has some hardcore B.O. going?
I don't even want to think about it. It's like dry heave.
It's impossible.
After she ran on the beach for
Jack,
hours.
Is this a filler episode? Shh, keep it a secret.
Will absolutely nothing go on during this episode? Maybe.
But let's keep it a secret.
This is it.
Gulp.
This balloon would be rather large, right?
Why am
no,
I
no, it'd be tiny.
We need to look some more.
This is where he said it would be.
Come on,
sure.
Everybody.
Charlie, deliver a semi-sarcastic line.
Why was Charlie even in this episode?
To deliver a semi-sarcastic line.
What's the computer for?
Are you looking at my bum?
He's eating Dharma flakes.
My reward for good behavior, huh? Mm. I guess I earned myself some goodwill.
No, he's eating Dharma, the new trail mix.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense she didn't tell you.
With marshmallow Brent heads.
Nice.
Of course, if I was one of them,
floating Teresa breasts.
Your enemies.
I mean, what?
What would I do?
Breasts.
There'll be no balloon.
These are the magic words.
I know if this guy isn't another, I would still strangle him with a garrote. Cut his throat.
Like a cave or some underbrush.
Well, he's got to be mentally imbalanced to actually fly a balloon.
Across the world. There, a bunch of my people would be waiting for him. Then they'd use them to trade for me. I guess it's a good thing I'm not one of them, huh?
I guess? We don't know. They didn't tell us anything in this episode. Got any milk? That's what this episode is pretty much about, is they have no milk on the island.
They milk the black horse.
Couldn't they get milk out of coconuts?
Coconut milk, certainly.
Well, coconut milk is made whenever you grind the coconut with the liquid.
I also heard that coconut is a natural,
laxative?
Yeah, I learned that in that Tom Hanks movie. I forget what it's called.
Yes, Castaway.
So what we learn here is Jin and Sun couldn't have children.
And Sun is now Mary, the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah, do you think she was... That's what I want to know. Did she sleep with the guy who was teaching her English?
She was kidnapped, she was impregnated artificially.
But she wasn't really kidnapped, though. Remember, that was Charlie. Oh, my God, Charlie's the father, that sick bastard.
Damn it.
He left that part of his...
I think it was the black fog. It was horny.
Yeah. Was this a filler episode, you guys?
Yeah.
Yes,
the filler before the lockdown episode next week.
Which looks good, I gotta say.
People bitch and moan about an artistic episode like The Sopranos second episode, yet they don't complain at all about a filler episode like of Lost like this one.
Oh, I'm sure they complain. Somebody complains about everything. You know.
All I know is I missed the first 15 minutes of the show, and then I watched the last 45 and was like, huh, okay.
Filler. I mean, it showed that Saeed and Anna Lucia are going to fall in love, I guess, eventually. No, I don't know what was going on there, but...
Can you imagine the stink coming from that general area?
But all I know...
This
whole thing was setting up for next week, I assume. And something with... They need to get the storyline over of this guy, because I'm starting to not care who he is. I don't know about you guys.
Well, did they not show a little clip of a balloon? Like
they show a spoiler, basically, on the previews. And here's another thing that I thought was funny, is they kind of talk about the last episode in this episode. Like, when did that happen? And they say that was yesterday, or whatever. The last episode that happened was yesterday, right? But
I think so.
It was like 3 weeks ago for us, you know. Season two has basically been 6 days, but for us it's been like half a year because there's so many gaps in between episodes.
Where the hell is Alias?
I believe it's coming back April 19th. Mm. And unfortunately, Alias will not have 22 episodes this season. It'll be 17 episodes.
Oh, that sucks ass.
Yeah, they're going to show...
I think it's on its way out.
This is its last season, but what they're going to do is they're going to show a 2-hour episode when it comes back, 4-hour-long episodes in between, 4 in a row, and then a 2-hour series finale, and that's it. Alias
is
over.
Such horse shit.
So 6 episodes, essentially.
ABC can suck my ass.
Holy
hey,
cow.
But Desperate Housewives hit show or whatever...
Well,
but,
you know what pisses me off is they go out of their way to create a shit show like The Evidence, yet they cancel Alias.
Yeah, an hour-long 7-Up commercial.
The Evidence will never last more than 4 episodes, and yet they're going to cancel a show like Alias with, like, quality writing.
Well, the thing that annoys me also, like, the way they treat Alias, it's like, what have you done for me lately? Even though it was a big hit show those other seasons, it's like, hey, it's not anymore, man. Let's move it out. Let's get something new in here. Let's get the Evidence.
Yeah, let's show Invasion.
Yeah, let's show that Orlando Jones guy on a TV show. That's a good idea.
And let's team him up with an ex-soap opera star.
Okay, out of steam on the Lost segment. So we'll check back on the lockdown next week, Steven.
Okay.
Now, is it spelled L-O-C-K-E?
Did you guys hear that when Steven said, okay?
Okay.
It's because he was asleep and I woke you up, wasn't it? Vanessa and Steven, you guys go take 5. All right, Bill, I think it's time this week to have our first ever sit-down. Let's go meet at the, what do they have that thing on The Sopranos? It's like a pork store or something?
Satrials.
Yeah, let's go meet at Satrials, have a little sit down, and let's talk some Sopranos. What do you say?
As long as I can have a veal parm.
Oh, yes. I'd like a nice stromboli.
I don't know if they make stromboli at Satrials.
I'd request it personally, you know. All right, I placed my order there, Bill. I hope you got yours in. Yeah. I ordered a pork sandwich instead. The guy kind of gave me a weird look, and I got weirded out, so I just ordered a pork sandwich. I don't want to ruffle any feathers around here. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, you never know what if it's pork or human.
Exactly. It could be the last guy who complained about not having stromboli, so... Yeah. Now, okay, we're back here with Sopranos. We've never talked about Sopranos on Nowhere in Mulberry, so this is exciting. We got another show that we love that's back for season 6, right?
Yeah, it is season 6. Wow.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
It's funny that we sit there and go, wow, it's season 6, but...
So much time
show, it's been a year and a half since the last season.
I know, so much time passes between each season that it's like, okay... And they do the previously on The Sopranos, and it's pretty much its own show at the beginning. It's, you know, that shows, oh yeah, I remember when that happened, okay.
Yeah, I think it's actually worse than the intro to Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, where that was just previously the last week. This is like 2 years ago on The Sopranos. But I love the way it picks up after, it's basically a year later, I believe.
Yeah, I think in time it is a year later.
And last season...
AJ's in college now.
And he's got long mane hair. It's ridiculous long hair.
Fabio!
Now, the end of last season, Johnny Sack gets busted by the FBI, and Tony gets away. So, you know, Johnny Sack's in jail. The guy who... I don't know what it is about that guy, but the way he smokes cigarettes just makes it look even more unhealthy than it already is, you know?
Yeah. If you already look like you're a corpse and you're smoking, it doesn't make it any more glamorous.
That guy, just when I watched him smoking, I was like, man, that's a disgusting habit.
that guy and Keith Richards make smoking look even worse.
Yeah, it's like his death has his sickle thing, his scythe or whatever. That's Johnny Sack's got a cigarette. So anyway, it starts out with this weird kind of little montage of what everyone's doing. You know, it shows... you know, Meadow dancing in her underwear for her kind of weenie with that guy who's her fiancé.
Finn.
Yeah, Finn. And we see Phil Leotardo visiting Johnny Sack in jail. And so you know that Phil, who's a son of a bitch, is there any bigger a-hole than that guy?
Not only is he just an enormous ass, the guy that plays him, he just comes across so intimidating with that silver mane and those black eyebrows.
Yeah. And he was the guy from Goodfellas, the go get your shine box, and the guy that they bury, I believe.
Yeah, wasn't he in Godfather, too?
Yeah, the guy is just the quintessential mafia actor, you know? He can make a living for the rest of his life playing different wise guys.
I think he has.
So you see that he's in charge, and he's kind of complaining that Tony wants the same split on the Office Park deal. And Phil is trying to tell him, don't turn it into World War III. Just, you know, he wants him to just keep everything calm. You know, he feels helpless there in prison.
Absolutely.
Now, there's this character I don't remember from last season. Maybe you do, but Eugene Pontecorvo, the guy, he inherits $2 million from his
aunt. But he's not just from last season. He's all the way from, like, season 2.
Right, he's been around for quite a while.
He's probably been in like 30 episodes.
Yeah, and when they showed him and he was kind of talking to... he shows up to Tony and he has all these fancy watches that he gives him. And he's like, oh, these are very nice. And he's like, well, actually, I didn't steal those, Tony. I inherited... Would you have told Tony this, by the way?
No, absolutely not, because the moment he tells Tony, Tony's going to expect the cut, which he gets eventually.
Right. He tells him, hey, I inherited $2 million from my aunt. And he's like, oh, well, congratulations. Sorry about the tragedy or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
congratulations on the death.
Yeah. But he puts in an odd request to Tony, and that's that he wants permission to retire to Florida. And, you know, Tony says, hey, this is for life. You know, you took an oath. And, right, you know, it's really a stupid question. I don't know what the guy's thinking, but maybe he thinks...
Yeah, if the guy wanted out, why didn't he just leave? I mean, what, they didn't really do anything for Big Pussy when Big Pussy just disappeared.
Right, just...
You know, it's not like they sent people after him. He should have just left.
You know, Tony agrees he'll think about it. And the dumbass, he tells his wife, hey, it sounds like it's a go deal. Let's go ahead and make an offer on that.
Yeah, right.
On the dream house that we have. And it's funny because it catches up with all the different wise guys. And that one guy, Vito, he won't shut up about how much weight he's lost and his exercise regimen. And there's this great moment where he's talking about, he, you know, with all this weight he's losing, he's going to have to join Clothing Anonymous. And Ray goes, "You should have called your sponsor before you bought that jacket." I just love how they bust each other's balls there.
But now it's like every time you see Vito, you can't help but think of last season, Finn seeing him in that car, giving yeah. the other guy a blowjob.
And that's, you know, that's the reason Finn proposed to Meadow.
He's afraid he's going to get killed.
So he's like, hey, if I propose to the guy's daughter, there's no way they're going to kill me, right? But they'll find a reason to do that, you know.
Well, now, isn't Finn, like, in California now or something?
Yeah, he's in dental school or something, I believe.
Yeah, I would be in any school as long as it was about 3,000 miles away from Vito.
I would not return back to New Jersey.
And I don't think he's going to.
And what's crazy is when he's trying to tell Meadow, I mean, this was, like, last season, but how scary those guys are. It's just like, he's a big teddy bear. What are you talking about? You know, it's like, there's no talking to her about this
he's
stuff.
A big teddy bear that likes penis and will kill you.
Yeah, and it will whack you if you tell anybody about it. Because remember, there's that creepy moment where he's like, hey, I got us some Mets tickets. What do you say?
It's like, yeah, no, thanks. I'm busy.
And remember, he goes, no, no, no. Come on, we're going. And he's like, okay. And he never shows up to the game. I wouldn't either. And it's funny, you see Vito. He's standing there with like his pennant and some hot dogs and some Cokes waiting for Finn to show up.
I forgot all about that.
That was so funny. So
that's great.
It looks like coming up, there's going to be some kind of encounter with them again. So that ought to be really uncomfortable. But I love that the when they're hanging out there in front of the pork store again, Agent Harris shows up, the guy that used to follow Tony around.
Yeah, and the guy you see in every other commercial on television right now.
Yeah, but he tells Tony he's been transferred to terrorism, that the only thing he got from Pakistan was a parasite. That's hilarious.
It's got to be a lie, though. There's no way in hell that he's in...
Well, that's
in,
what's weird.
Homeland Security.
Is it he keeps showing up for lunch at this place? Is it just because he loved the food so much while he was on assignment, following them around everywhere?
Yeah, but whenever he was on assignment, following them everywhere, when did you ever see him eating there?
Yeah, it's kind of strange. He's got a reason he's there. Hesh, the Jewish guy, cuts to like a Chinese restaurant where him and his son-in-law have just finished eating. And all of a sudden, some of Phil Leotardo. Yeah, what is that guy? Which guy is it they call the hairdo? Is it the guy with the goofy kind of wavy hair? The hairdo.
I'm not sure.
But they show up and they start beating the crap out of his son-in-law. And they stick their...
And Hesh goes running and he gets taken too.
Yeah, and they punch him and then the guy runs in the street and gets hit by a taxi van. And it's a hit and run and it was just really bad. So naturally, Hesh calls Tony and he's all, man... But it was so funny. There's a great moment where they're in the hospital and Tony and Chris show up and they're talking to Hesh and Hesh is all upset and he goes, who did this? What happened? He goes, we were eating at the Chinese restaurant. Chris goes, the chinks did this? And he goes, what, are you an effing wise guy? Yeah, that was great. Chris just says all the wrong things.
But they write for the character so well. And
oh, right, they do.
The guy just pulls it off perfectly.
Him and Polly. And so anyway,
oh, yeah.
Tony's got this big thing that, you know, now he's got to go Johnny Sack and, you know, deal with this thing who's in prison.
Yeah, so doesn't he go to his brother-in-law?
Yeah, he goes to the, what is it, optometrist store where they sell Ray-Bans and stuff. And
yeah.
He's like, these are lovely Ray-Bans right here. He goes, what are those right there? Oh, those are my most expensive.
Those are Armani.
Yeah. He says,
oh, I'll take a look at those.
Johnny Sack's wife, she's like this very large woman. There's a
Ginny Sack.
Yeah, and there's a part where Tony says, how is Ginny doing? He goes, she's got the weight of the world on her shoulders. I just kind of laughed at that. And Tony ends up, I love, they all try on sunglasses, like, lift my wallet in the car, and he leaves.
Yeah, and the one that looked the worst was Silvio.
Yeah,
that big fake mop of hair and those glasses.
Oh, it was great. Naturally, he passes that on to Johnny, who's really pissed off about it, so he's going to have Phil sit down with him. But meanwhile, Tony is digging hole after hole in Junior's backyard. He's got, like, all these holes in the dirt. And it turns out Junior keeps saying that there's 40 G's in his backyard somewhere that was some kind of heist in the 70s or something.
Yeah, that Pussy Malonga stole from him.
Yeah, this Pussy Malonga guy is stalking him. Tony has no patience for any of this Alzheimer's stuff at all. He's just getting pissed off. And there's even a scene where he's at Dr. Melfi, and she's trying to tell him, why don't you put him in assisted living? He goes, no, we're family. Family take care of each other. Now, I actually have a clip here where he's talking to his son, AJ, about family and friendship. Let's check this out.
Oh, Joe College. Where's your mother? She went to the outlet stores in Aunt Rob. That's the jacket we got you for Christmas? I'm lending it to Matt. Hey, how was the interview for the internship?
Got moved to next week.
Oh, would you mind keeping me in the loop, though, since it was my lawyer that set it up?
Okay.
Huh? Matt don't have his own clothes?
He's borrowing it for a party.
Oh, good. You'll never see it again.
You have such a low opinion of people.
Let me tell you something, AJ. I don't care how close you are. In the end, your friends are going to let you down. Family. They're the only ones you can depend on.
So Phil shows up to the Bada Bing, and I love what Vito says. Something like, I'm waiting so long, I got mushrooms growing out of my ass. He's like, now there's a sight. Just the kind of good stuff they say. He just cracks me up. So I love how when they ever have these sit-downs, these meetings, it takes forever for everyone to show up, and then when they do, it lasts like 3 minutes?
Yeah, they all go out back and toss all the issues out, and then that's it.
And he's like, his son-in-law hurt pretty bad. How's $25,000? Nah, the guy's in, what is he?
Intensive care.
The guy's intensive care. He's got tubes. All right, $50,000. All right, agreed. They agree, $65,000, $35,000, and that's where Christopher, you see that he's kind of annoyed. Why are you kissing his ass, Tony? And Tony keeps saying it's strategy. Just keep, calm him down. As long as Johnny's happy, he keeps Phil Leotardo in check.
As long as he placates Phil, then everything will be fine.
Right, the guy is a total...
Because Phil's still pissed off about the Blundetto thing from last season.
Yeah, which is a very sore subject. So meanwhile, back to that guy Gene, who wanted out of the mob. Chris tells him, hey, I need you to go whack some guy, and I'll put in a good word to Tony. You know, what I love, Gene, he shows up with lunch for everybody. Hey, is Tony gone? Oh, I got lunch. You know, he's like, wants to kiss his ass a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, earlier in the show, it kind of showed what kind of home life Gene has. His wife's always yelling at him. His kid looks like he's on heroin.
Kid is on heroin.
Yeah, he just can't take it anymore. And I mean, why doesn't his wife understand he's in the freaking mob and took an oath that the...
I know, you would think that a mobster's wife would somehow understand that.
Naturally, she doesn't. So Sylvia
Women.
Goes... He's like, hey, you know that Florida thing? It's out. Not going to happen. And he's like, what? What the hell are you talking about? He's like, it's not going to happen. You're too valuable to the organization or whatever. So he tells his wife, and his wife is just, why don't you go kill that son of a bitch or whatever? I know you could. I know you killed other people. He gets a call in the middle of the night, and I forgot to mention this, but Ray Curto, remember that guy who's working with the FBI?
Yeah, the old guy.
He's just about to tell them something, okay, tell us what you got on Tony, and all of a sudden he keels over with a heart attack, drops dead.
Yeah, that was such a great scene.
And so naturally they called Gene, who apparently had been busted a while back, and they haven't been using him yet, I guess.
Yeah, he was a pinch hitter.
Yeah, now they tell him, Florida's out, that's never going to happen, we need you, you're our main hitter now. What does he do? But he goes and hangs himself in the basement.
And I love how they shot it. That's this long shot, and they just hold it.
It was the longest.
Squirming, grabbing. It was so morbid.
The most uncomfortable hanging scene ever. I mean, it just went on forever.
I mean, there's been uncomfortable scenes in The Sopranos, but that one is up there near the top.
Yeah.
And that's got to be up there with Melfi's rape from like two seasons
ago. Oh, man, that was so uncomfortable, too. And there's this great scene I forgot about where Bobby, him and Janice now have a baby, which is frightening. And
oh my God.
They show Bobby with his toy trains, and he's got his little engineer cap on.
Yeah, the engineer cap was the best part.
Tony's younger sister gives Tony a call and says, I got to go. There's some kind of tragedy going on at home. Something that she has to go home.
Yeah, she can't leave Junior alone.
He's like, where the hell are Janice and Bobby? And it's like, well, they're busy. They have plans. So apparently they have to take her kid to some private school or whatever.
And he's like a year and a half years old.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. But I love how Bobby just kind of looks there with the dumb look with his stupid engineer cap. And there's a great example of Janice never shuts up, where Tony finally goes, fine, if you got to do something, you got to do it yourself. And he starts to walk away. And then she goes, well, it was your idea not to get assisted living. And he just stops and turns around. And just like, just shut up and let him go.
The character of Janice has to make it all about herself at every possible moment.
Yeah, she's...
You never just shut up.
At the end of that episode, Tony's there making dinner for Junior, and Junior's still nuts. There's even a great part where he's like, who's down there? And he goes, it's Artie Shaw. Come on, dinner's ready. And I have a clip of what happened there.
I'm not. I'm right here.
Comes a rainstorm. Put your rubbers on your feet.
You got any wine? Gatsada, Malanga.
Nothing can be done. Come the fire.
So basically, Junior, thinking that Tony is Pussy Malanga, shoots him while he's making him dinner.
Gatsad, Malanga!
And Junior runs upstairs and hides a gun under the bed.
Hides in a closet!
Yeah, then they're like... And that's pretty much the end of that episode.
Yeah, he dials 911 and passes out.
I mean, that it was a really good premiere to the
Yeah, it was a great opening to the season.
Now we're on to basically the second episode, which happened this week, and it was called Join the Club. There was a lot of talk during the week. What is going to happen? Is it going to have Tony in a coma, or is it going to be like a couple of months later, he's healed, what's going on? And it opens up with Tony kind of in an alternate reality, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
He's in some hotel room, kind of just sitting there, and he calls home, and there's these unfamiliar voices. They don't sound like his family. You know,
it's a young boy and a young girl, and it's definitely not Carmella on the answering machine.
And it shows him, like, drinking in a bar. He's kind of anonymous sitting there, and he goes to some kind of conference, and the lady won't let him in because she says that he's not Tony Soprano. He's Kevin Finnerty. It says so on his driver's license. And he looks a lot like the guy in the picture, too. So now he's kind of screwed. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have his wallet or... anything. So he calls home and talks to Carmella, who sounds nothing. Oh, and another thing, he doesn't sound like Tony. He's speaking without any kind of Italian inflection in his voice.
Yeah, it's James Gandolfini's real speaking voice.
Yeah, it's really strange.
So he doesn't have that heavy breathing Italian Jersey thing going on.
Right, and so he goes to the bar trying to look for maybe this Finnerty guy's there. And naturally he's not. And he meets up with this group of people who invite him out for dinner, which is really strange. And remember, there's a lady, he keeps making eyes at this lady.
Well, I think they recognize him as like the top seller of air conditioners.
He's a heating salesman. Yeah, that's right. He's a solar heating salesman or something.
Yeah, something like that. Who knows?
So anyway, he's about to make out with her, and she's like, I saw your face when you were talking about your kids. I know you're in love with them. And there's a scene where the helicopter has a spotlight on him, and you see like a lady waving a light in front of his eyes. Yeah. And so then it pulls into the real world, and Honey's in the hospital, and Tony is in the hospital.
Who the hell is Honey?
He's his brother. They're going to introduce this season. So Carmella and Meadow are there at his side, and Carmella looks horrible. She looks like she hasn't slept in days.
No, he's got that big open incision on his gut.
Yeah, he's got sepsis in his gut. Oh, and there's a part where the doctor sticks his hand in the open wound. Oh, it looks really nasty. What I love about this is everyone's kind of like kissing ass a little bit and competing. Like, Vito's like, hey, I'll take AJ home. And Polly's like, no, you won't. I'll take him home. And he's like, hey, Van Helsing, you ready?
He calls him
Van Helsing because of his long hair. And it keeps going back into Tony's dream world. Now, this isn't a dream he's in, right? It's his subconscious or something.
I think you know what? It's up to debate. I've pretty much discontinued the purgatory theory that a lot of people have online and that I was believing for a while. I think it's a dream. I think he's just in this state of thinking what his life could have been normally.
Right. I mean, it's... it could possibly be his subconscious kind of reflecting on things in the symbolic way like dreams are. They're, you know, people interpret your dreams and stuff. Hey, what does this mean?
You know, if you want to get philosophical about it, sure.
Right. He could be in limbo or something like that. But anyway, what it is he's dealing with an internal struggle of life and death and all that. They even show him sitting on a bed, and you see a lighthouse in the distance that keeps kind of flashing, and he keeps staring at it. I almost think that is the conscious world. Like, if he just goes towards that, maybe he'll wake up kind of thing. You know, because we've seen so many devices used in different movies and stuff, and how...
Well, isn't there, like, there's the lighthouse at one end of the city, and then there's, like, a raging fire at the other end?
Yeah.
And some people are saying that the raging fire's, like, if he were to die, like, go that way towards hell.
Yeah, it's everything kind of has symbolism in it. Like, you even see him in the bar, and he sees on TV, and it says, is there life after death? What does it all mean kind of thing?
Yeah.
And what's great is back in his dream world, he decides to check into a hotel as Kevin Finnerty and use the guy's credit card. And there's these Buddhist monks who overhear him checking in, and they go up, and they're yelling at him about how their monastery was cold through the winter, and they accost him, and the Buddhist monk hits him.
Yeah.
They must really hate that Kevin Finnerty guy, because a Buddhist monk would hit him. They showed Junior being questioned by a psychologist.
Oh, that was hilarious.
And he's just being totally difficult. He's like, I forget what he says, repeat these words to me. And he's like, well, you know, how did your nephew get shot if you didn't shoot him? He's like, if somebody shot my nephew, it was him himself. He's a depression case. And then it cuts to Eugene, who hanged himself in the last season. Everyone's there at his funeral. People are kind of talking like, this lucky son of a bitch, he goes out the easy way, he kills himself.
Yeah, that was too much. The best comment was Vito said something about, well, maybe he was gay and he was afraid for people to find out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, Vito. And then, then Silvio whips out the, oh, I heard he had an inoperable cancer. It's like, yeah, the cancer's the mafia.
Yeah, they're so clueless. And there's this great scene where Paulie's like, you know, and I think I'm going to get Tony a nice CD player for his room. And Chris is like, ah, he doesn't need that. And next thing you know, look what Chris sent over, a nice CD player. And she plays him some Smoke on the Water. You love the song, Tony? Dun, dun, dun.
That's exactly what I want to hear when I'm in a coma.
And there was a little subplot here with AJ, who AJ will not go in and visit his father. And pretty much AJ's just a useless lump of flesh. He's got nothing going. He's a total loser.
To borrow a line from a comedian, AJ is a zero in the game of life.
Yes. And finally, there's this great scene where Carmela shows up and looks in, and AJ's sitting in there, and he's talking to his dad. And she's, like, very touched. And then they let us hear what AJ's telling him. He's talking to him about some new, what was it, the new Porsche or something?
Yeah,
or
the new car that this kid has on campus.
And he's like, man, it's badass, Dad. I really want to get one of those. He's not talking to him about anything important. Then all of a sudden he stands up and he's like, Dad, I promise you I'm going to pull a bullet in that effing mummy's head. I promise. Yeah. He's talking about Uncle Junior. He's like, you've been nothing but nice to him and he does this to you.
I think the one scene that really showed what an asshole AJ is doesn't Carmela sends him home to get Tony's Tony Bennett CDs, and Carmela's looking around for him, and she sees AJ outside being interviewed by the press.
Yeah.
And he's just talking some shit about something, and she runs out and grabs him.
And I love the lady, so, is this like Growing Up Soprano? And he's like, kinda, I guess. And he goes, Mom, I gotta tell you something. I flunked out of school. And Carmela's voice, sometimes it just drives me crazy. She goes, you flunk out of school with your father in a coma? You flunk out? Remember when Furio was back on the show?
And oh, she
was
yeah.
I would always hated hearing her go, Furio! Oh, Furio! Just her voice. Oh, God, it drives me crazy.
I think everything about her drives me crazy. She looks like a man. She's got that horrible voice, but she was killer during this episode.
And I forgot on the last episode.
They just need to give her the Emmy right now.
I forgot about the last episode when Tony gets her the Porsche, and she goes, it's Cayenne like the Peppa.
Yeah.
But what happens in Tony's kind of weird limbo dream world or whatever it is, he falls down the stairs and he has a doctor look at him. And it turns out he has Alzheimer's, like early onset Alzheimer's. And he goes, it's a death sentence. You know, I'm screwed. Mm-hmm. And the episode ends with him kind of sitting on the bed and looking at that lighthouse in the distance. And he's about to pick up the phone, but then he doesn't. I think the next episode, it looks like it's going to be how everyone's dealing with Tony being in a coma. Sylvia, there's even a scene at Gene's funeral. Sylvia's like, nothing, no personal shit. Let's just work through this stuff. You know, everyone go business as usual. Vito, he's like, I want his sports book.
Yeah, that was this big moneymaker.
And he's like, I love how Silvio, when someone says something out of line, he goes, ho, ho, what did I just say? I love how he goes, ho.
Like he shrugs his shoulder and makes his neck disappear. Oh!
But here's a clip of what's happening this week on The Sopranos.
What's happening?
You're really going to have to recalibrate your expectations at this point.
What if Tony takes a turn for the worse? Somebody's going to have to step into the breach.
Maybe I'm not following you.
No problem taking orders from me.
I resent that.
What does it mean you told you to start gambling again?
He's still stewing about that money.
I love it. Looks like Tim Daly's coming back.
Oh, man.
The biggest loser on The Sopranos besides AJ.
It's done.
I just can't wait to see some more Pauly. Pauly hasn't had any real big scenes in this, but I love Pauly.
Yeah, it looks like this is going to be a good one for Pauly because Silvio divides up Pauly's latest money-making thing, and Pauly's all pissed off about it.
Pauly's character is genius, and he had the best line in the show with, hey, Van Helsing. I just love that.
Scream.
All right, Vanessa, what do we have coming up on the Mulberry News Desk?
Well, Chef is dead, and a film shoot is mistaken for a hostage situation.
Whoa, I can't wait to check that out.
Hey, this is Marissa the Spokes Chick from Nowhere in Mulberry, reminding you not to forget, each Friday at 10 o'clock Central Time, the chat room at namechat.com will feature the cast of Nowhere in Mulberry. So if you want to rant, rave, or just shoot the breeze, join us at 10 o'clock Central Time Fridays on namechat.com. That's NIMCHAT.com. See you there!
Rubbish. All right, Vanessa, what do you got for us this week?
All right, people who only get 6 to 7 hours of a night of sleep actually have lower death rate than those who get 8 hours or more.
Steven's going to live a long time.
I know. A six-year study of more than 1 million adults, this was found. Many Americans are sleep-deprived zombies, and a quarter of us now use some form of sleeping pill or aid at night.
I'm a zombie.
I knew it.
Zombie. The pill taking is real, but the refrain that Americans are sleep deprived originates largely from people funded by the drug industry or with financial interests in sleep research clinics.
Shocker.
They think that scaring people about sleep increases their income.
Steven,
thanks to marketing of less addictive drugs directly marketed to consumers, sleeping pills have become a hot commodity, especially in the past 5 years.
Right.
People worldwide spent $2 billion on the most popular sleeping pill, Ambien, in 2004. Earlier this month, it was reported that some Ambien users are susceptible to amnesia and walking in their sleep.
Yeah, that stuff can screw you up.
Do those people rise from the dead also?
Yeah. They said that some even eat in the middle of the night without realizing it. That's like, you know, it's serious stuff, but people take it like it's candy.
I want to get some.
What is it exactly that you do?
I'm a doctor. What about you?
I kill zombies.
Thank you, Foggy.
Yeah. Well, those who took sleeping pills nightly have a greater risk of death than those who took them occasionally, but their latter risk was still 10 to 15% higher than it was among people who never took sleeping pills at all.
That, you know, I've always... I've known even as a kid that sleeping pills are addictive and they're just not good, you know?
Well, yeah, that's why they call them barbiturates.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, if you have to take pills to go to sleep, there's something else wrong.
Yes.
It's usually stress.
Because usually if you snap one off, that's enough to get you a little sleepy.
I'll totally attest to that.
Snap one off. Rub one out.
I don't know what you're talking about, Steven.
Yeah, he was talking about pencils.
Oh,
that's what I'm talking about. Rub, you erase stuff. Rub one out. That's what you type. You guys are weird. What's wrong with you?
I'm going to stay masturbating a minute. Am I loud?
All right, Vanessa.
In Fernandina Beach, Florida, a movie set at the downtown post office turned all too real for a group of high school filmmakers. Members of the high school Spanish club were shooting a movie Thursday night when the police showed up believing a hostage crisis was going on inside the post office.
Nice.
But apparently someone saw the teens carrying toy guns in the building on Center Street, which is the heart of the town's historical district. When they couldn't get an answer to calls placed inside the building, they assumed the worst. Police cornered off the block, cleared nearby buildings, and surrounded the post office ready for a hostage crisis. When a group of students left the post office, they were ordered to get on the ground face down. Postmaster Ron Steedley had given permission for the school group to use the post office after hours to make a movie called Rolling Thunder, like I guess the 80s game. Steedley said he didn't think the students' movie would frighten anyone.
I love that game.
And Devin Menendez, the film's director, said his career is over in filmmaking. I'm not accepting any more offers to direct a movie after this.
Oh my
god. Did someone get killed or anything?
No, it got cleared up, but it's kind of funny.
That would have been awesome if just a shootout ensued.
I mean,
fake guns!
One of those crazy cops that would just shoot people for no reason.
One of those Riggs-type crazy cops. Living on the edge, burnout cops.
He's got a gun! Shoot him!
It's just a pack of Rolos.
Rolos? In Rochester, New York, Jay Leno has won a round in court with a ruling that comedy deserves a break.
Hey, dude, how about this? It's a story. Can you believe it?
We've all got Jay Leno impression. All right, Steven, what's your Jay impression?
Yeah,
sure. True story.
I got gigantism in my jaw. All
right, go ahead, Vanessa.
All right,
I'm a cocksucker.
Jay Leno has won a round in court with a ruling that comedy deserves a break. A state appeals court ruled that a lower court should have dismissed a lawsuit that a woman filed against
the Tonight
Show.
Jay Leno said comedy deserves a break?
Yeah.
So he's going to retire?
He's been on a comedic break for the past 20 years.
Yeah, he's great.
Really good stuff.
What do you mean? He's
banging.
Yeah, he's banging. The lawsuit by Claire Walter, 40, claimed Jay Leno violated the state's civil rights law by commercially using an unflattering photo of her in an on-air joke without her permission in 2003.
I didn't think you had needed permission for that kind of stuff.
Those headlines can be dangerous.
The photo was taken for internal use at her former employer. According to the lawsuit, Leno said a customer would not want to have their car serviced by someone like Miss Walter. There were comments about the plaintiff being scary-looking and kind of being big.
Car serviced by a woman? You have these gorilla-looking mechanics work on your car. When do you care about their looks, their appearance?
I guess this is one of his jokes or something, but...
Hey, I would trust a big, ugly woman to do my car work more than one of those oafish-looking idiots.
Yeah. The appeals court cited an exception to the law regarding use of photos for comedic purposes. Walter's lawyer protested the ruling. Just because you're a comic doesn't give you the right to take someone who is an obscure person and make fun of the way someone looks. Christopher Thomas, a Rochester attorney representing Jay Leno, of course, declined to comment. So, yeah. I guess she got upset because the photo wasn't exactly nice. Wasn't very flattering.
I gotta see this photo.
Those damn headlines.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, woman, get over it. All right, in San Antonio, Texas?
The stars at night! Oh, sorry.
Texas has begun sending undercover agents.
That guy gets his salsa from New York City.
Get a rope.
Texas has begun sending undercover agents into bars to arrest drinkers for being drunk.
and not eating paste salsa.
They picked the right place, at least.
Struggling.
Joe Namath might be there.
The first sting operation was conducted recently in a Dallas suburb where agents infiltrated 36 bars and arrested 30 people for a public intoxication.
Wait, what kind of sting?
I want to kiff you.
What kind of sting operation is it? Like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to serve beer in a bar and get guys drunk and then arrest them for being drunk. The ultimate sting.
Well, it says being in a bar does not exempt one from the state laws against public drunkenness. The goal, Beck said, Carolyn Beck, who's the commissioner, said that it was to detain drunks before they leave a bar and go do something dangerous like drive a car.
I want to kiss you.
We feel that the only thing we're going to get at the drunk driving problem and the problem of people hurting each other while being drunk is doing a crackdown like this.
Uh-huh. That's so stupid. Why don't they just post a cop outside? If a drunk person comes out and tries to drive, why don't they call him a cab?
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
There are a lot of dangerous and stupid things people do when they're intoxicated, other than get behind the wheel of a car. People walk out into traffic and get run over. People jump off balconies trying to reach a swimming pool and miss. She said the operations would continue throughout the state.
See, what you're supposed to do is just go pick up a 24-pack, Steven.
Go back to your house.
Get drunk watching wrestling or something.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm gonna go out to the bar. I'm gonna get drunk. I'm gonna climb a fence. I'm gonna jump into a pool. What I do all the time.
I'm gonna urinate on a TV set.
I'm gonna pee on an electric fence.
Shit. Yeah.
All right. And Isaac Hayes has quit South Park, where he voices Chef, saying he is no longer stomach it. Take on religion. Ladies Man School Cook in the animated comedy Central Satire since 1997. Said in a statement Monday that he feels a line has been crossed. There's a place in the world for satire, but there's a time when satire ends, and intolerance and bigotry towards religious belief in others begins.
So he's cool with it until they talk about something that he belongs
something
to.
Something affects him. It's either all or nothing. Religious
yeah, it's like I think they made the comment that he didn't have any problem cashing the checks before.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, when they were making fun of Christianity, that he had no problem cashing that check.
Of course not. It's totally it's hypocrisy. People like this who want it their way, but everything else, as long as it doesn't affect them, they're okay with it. But the moment it kind of comes towards them a little bit, then they start freaking out, and that's when they cry, lawsuit or harassment or discrimination.
What they did on South Park is they actually killed his character off, and I have a clip of that. Chef's funeral.
He seemed to turn his back on us. But we can't let the events of the last week take away the memories of how much Chef made us smile. I'm gonna remember Chef as the jolly old guy who always broke into song. I'm gonna remember Chef as the guy who gave us advice to live by. So you see, we shouldn't be mad at Chef for leaving us. We should be mad at that fruity little club for scrambling his brains.
Yeah, he's right.
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
That fruity little club. I love it.
Well, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, they said they never heard a thing out of Isaac in any way until they did Scientology. And he wants a different standard for religions other than his own. And to me, this is Trey Parker talking, that is where the intolerance and bigotry begin. So
right.
He's saying that...
As soon as someone can't make fun of something, give me a break. I mean...
Yeah, exactly. It's...
I think what it is I don't think he cared at all, but he probably got pressure from...
He absolutely did.
Oh, yeah, probably. Well, you know the old saying with God is a comedian playing to an audience with no sense of humor?
Right.
It's so true.
Right.
Exactly, people... Edna.
And that's all I got.
All right, Vanessa, thanks for doing the news this week.
You're welcome.
I sure do appreciate it.
No
right,
problem.
Right.
You know, Steven, these past couple of weeks, I have had no idea what DVDs to buy. We haven't had Bill to do the DVDs of the week.
I tried for 2 weeks and just
he failed
don't have
miserably.
That talent.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad to have Bill back to do the
DVDs. Yes,
DVD
that's what I was going to say. Guess what? Bill's back and let's do the DVDs of the week. Man, am I going through puberty or something? My voice is cracking. Let's see what
Peter Brady.
Rearrange. Let's see what Bill's got. Yes. DVDs of the week. All right, Bill, what DVDs you got for us this week? Some good stuff. I bet you missed this theme song, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Let me take a little sip of coffee here.
Have a little cigarette, even though you don't smoke? Maybe a nice clove.
Yeah, right. I want to make my lungs bleed.
Yeah, but at least you look cool. All right, Bill, what DVDs we got this week?
Smell good. Okay, I went through all the DVDs for release on February 28th, 2006. And there's quite a few coming out, but I picked the Elite Eight.
Ooh.
That's where March Madness here. I'm going to start with a film that I've never heard of, yet stars one of my favorite actors in a role that is probably just like every other role he's ever done.
All right.
The film is Alchemy with Tom Cavanaugh and Sarah Chalk.
Oh, yeah. Tom Cavanaugh of Ed and Sarah Chalk of Scrubs.
Yes, yeah, supposedly Tom Cavanaugh plays a professor who makes history when he develops a computer named Jerry, which can interact like a human being. And you can guess from there, you know, hilarity ensues.
Yeah. It's great.
Really good stuff.
Yeah, it's banging.
Yeah. You know what? I remember reading about this like a year ago. I'd like to check it out.
Yeah, I would put it on Netflix.
Two very likable actors.
Yeah, I like Sarah Chalk and Scrubs, and Tom Cavanaugh is just the man.
Yeah, yes, he is.
All right. This film is from the self-indulgent Hollywood youngster.
My favorite genre.
Yeah. It's called I Love Your Work, starring Giovanni I Love Scientology Ribisi.
Ah, yes, another Scientologist.
And a couple of his other friends, including Jason My Name is Earl Lee.
Oh.
I'd like Joshua you to consider Jackson. Scientology.
Josh Jackson from
Josh Jackson
from the Creek.
Charlie from the Mighty Ducks. Vince Vaughn, Christina Ricci, Franco Potente.
Oh, it's just got an all-star cast.
That's the one I saw that was playing at the Jewish Theater in L.A. when I was driving through.
Ah.
Yeah, he was the Hebrew Hammer.
Okay? You've got troubles, Mac.
Shut your mouth.
Bugs.
I almost said Daffy. Like,
I did see one thing directed by Adam Goldberg, and it was on IFC. It was like a weird documentary he made, traveling the road with his friend. It was very self-indulgent, but it was entertaining in parts. But you could tell it's just the guy like just screwing around with editing. And
I'm not sure about Adam Goldberg. I've seen him in some really good roles, but everything else, he seems a little flaky.
He was great in that show that
it was good as
Chris O'Donnell,
the crazy roommate on Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, he was on that that show that got canceled after two episodes.
Head cases.
Yeah. Okay, so there's I Love Your Work. Put it on Netflix. Maybe have a good laugh at it.
All right, I'll check that out. It's got a lot of people in it.
This one is an important film that people should buy, but they might want to wait for the Uber edition coming out later this year. Mm-hmm. King Kong, 2-disc special edition. Now, this is the Peter Jackson King Kong.
That's a lion, Foggy.
That's, yeah, the MGM lion. I wouldn't say it's important, but you know what? It was a good flick, very entertaining. It'll be the theatrical version, so you might want to hold on to that, because the special edition that's going to come out, I think it's like 40 minutes longer.
Now, I saw this in the theater, but I saw it after it had been out like 3 weeks, and it had been designated to the tiny 100-seater theater, and I gotta say, it was a horrible experience. The movie was entertaining, but man, the theater sucks so bad.
Also, those like tiny 100-seaters with the small screen, and the seats are always way more uncomfortable than the bigger ones.
Oh, yeah, and we were shoulder to shoulder with every parent who decided to bring their kids to the matinee. You should never go to the matinee. Don't ever go.
Matinees are bad.
Horrible.
Yeah,
The only screenings I go to in a theater are the 11 a.m. first screening. There's a good chance you'll be the only one there.
Right.
and the anything after the matinee. But I always I'm not the type that loves going to the theater with a lot of people. I like going to, the first showing so that there's nobody there.
Right. I think one of the best experiences I had was when Braveheart came out. I saw it, that night, opening night.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what the deal was, but there was no one in the theater. It was, the 10 o'clock showing, and that movie just blew me away,
Yeah.
And there was no one there to ruin it.
Yeah, I saw that at the Ridgely Dinner Theater. Back when it was
Dinner Theater.
Yeah, it's
it was performed by Hal Holbrook. And,
it was crazy.
Gabe Kaplan.
It was a movie theater where they serve food. They would come to your table and
order a little bit of shrimp and have a nice brewski,
little pizza,
Mark Twain and William Wallace.
Yeah. See, I've been to one of those theaters like that, the Grill, Movie Grill.
Yeah.
And at first it's cold, but then it's can these waiters just sit down so I can watch this movie? There's so many distractions.
The Alamo Draft House is in Austin, and it gets really irritating after a while.
There's too many distractions. I just want to. I want to see the movie.
Doors opening, people pressing buttons for the waiters to get them drinks.
Right.
Just watch the movie.
Yeah, it's a neat idea.
I guess I had a better experience because there wasn't a whole lot of that,
No, it's okay. If it's a movie I've seen 100 times, I probably won't mind. I saw Pulp Fiction after I'd seen it 4 times, so it wasn't that big a deal. But if you go to see a movie for the first time, it is kind of distracting. Now, what would you like to order? This is a very important scene here.
Yeah, but I would kill to go see the screenings of the Monster Squad at the Alamo Draft House.
Oh, hell yes. Yeah, coming up in April, there's going to be a special screening of
and
the
then
Monster
there's
Squad.
Back to DVDs. This is for the people that missed the films entirely. The Left Behind Collection 3-pack.
Yes.
I know R2's a huge fan of these
with
films.
Kirk... Way of the Master Cameron.
Yes. Left Behind the movie, Left Behind 2 Tribulation, and the most recent release starring Lou Gossett Jr.
Oh,
as the president.
Oh, hell
left
yes.
Behind,
how many times can
they
get left behind?
That is the casting coup of the year. Yeah, you got a point there, Steven. After you left behind once, how do you keep getting left behind? You got to say, maybe they don't like me very much.
I feel really awful for Lou Gossett Jr. to be an Academy Award winner and now in Left Behind World at War.
What the problem was, he won the Academy Award and then decided, hey, this cocaine looks like a good hobby to take up.
You know what? I love this Academy Award. I think I'm going to do a trio of films called Iron Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
My cousin's a cokehead.
And don't forget about The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, man, that was terrific.
What a colossal ripoff.
Genius.
Okay, I really, really enjoyed this show. You turned me on to it, Jason. Even though it involves a much maligned person as Seth Green. Robot Chicken, Season 1.
Ah, yes.
It's absolutely hilarious. There are some really funny, funny skits that they're just hilarious. And some that fall flat. But for a show, it was just good. Good show, good stuff. It'll have all kinds of behind-the-scenes footage and episode commentaries. Plus, there's all kinds of guest stars on it.
Yeah, a lot of guest voices. And a lot of some ridiculous plots. One of my favorites is they did the horror movie killers who are on Big Brother, Michael Myers and Freddy.
See,
and
I
Jason.
Missed that one, and I've always and there was a 7 one, right? That a 7-bit that I missed?
It was 7 mixed with the Smurfs. So one of the Smurfs was killing them with the 7 deadly sins. It was great. And I just remember then Papa Smurf's dancing with the headless body. He's lost his mind. Smurfette's head is in a box. It's genius.
So yeah, I'm going to have to get that.
Now, a word I don't throw around too much, that, by the way, genius.
Especially towards Seth Green.
Yeah, genius and Seth Green normally do not go together. Here's a film that I did not see. From what I understand, it bombed at the box office, But I want to see, only because it was one of my favorite books by Ray Bradbury, A Sound of Thunder, starring Ed Burns and Ben Kingsley, about this group that would go back in time. But it involves dinosaurs, so hey, you can't beat that.
Oh.
But it was directed by Peter Hyams.
Oh. Who is always his own director of photography, I know that. Cinematographer.
Yeah, but he's also quite possibly one of the worst directors today.
Hey, come on, he did Time Cop with Jean-Claude. Oh, wait, no, I do understand what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, if you just look at his list, I mean, come on, you're talking 2010, the year we made contact with
Why
Roy
did they
Schneider.
Make that movie?
Yeah.
Piece of running, pie.
Running Scared.
Oh, wait, hold on there, sir.
No, I liked Running Scared. Also, I liked his other film, The Presidio, with Mark Harmon and Sean Connery. That was good.
It's okay.
But then you also have Stay Tuned. Remember that term?
Yikes.
Yeah.
With Pam Dauber and John
You've
Ritter.
Sold me. He's a horrible director.
No.
Sudden Death, which Yikes. I happened, which I will totally admit, I was going to the Pittsburgh High School for Creative and Performing Arts at the time, and I was an extra in Sudden Death.
Awesome.
I was in the Civic Arena while they were shooting it.
Initiating and I got to shutdown see- sequence.
I actually got to see Jean-Claude Van Damme run up and down concrete stairs.
Awesome. And you realize how boring filmmaking looks?
Yeah, it was like, wow, this is how long it takes?
Yes.
So yeah, Sound of Thunder, directed by Peter Hyams, Ed Burns, Ben Kingsley. Why not have things that involve dinosaurs and vegetation and time travel?
Hell yeah. So, sounds genius to me.
Now here's
not as
one
good
that,
as my science project with John Stockwell.
Yeah, I remember my science project. I built a volcano and used baking soda and vinegar.
Worst episode ever.
Now this one we can't really joke about, only because it's such, it's like evil personified, and it's Leni Riefenstahl's Triumph of the Will. The Nazi propaganda film from, it was filmed during the 1934 Nazi Party rally in Nuremberg. It's an important film only for its historical significance, but I wouldn't really recommend
Who would
watching
buy
it.
That?
Well, I guess...
Bunch of white, bunch of Nazi supremacists.
Yeah, you know what cracks me up about it, though? It's like in this super special edition put out by Synapse Films, and they want $22 for it. I'm wow. sorry, I'm not going to pay $22 for German, you know, Nazi propaganda from the 30s. But, you know, hey, if goose stepping floats your boat, go for it.
Yeah.
I was bedraggled.
The last DVD I'm going to mention is quite possibly one of the sickest television shows I've ever seen in the past 10 years.
Sick as in badass?
No, sick as in quite disturbing and at times very disgusting.
All right.
It's called Wundershowzen.
Wundershowzen. It,
yes, it was...
yeah. It's great. It,
really good stuff.
It's banging. I can't remember what it was on, but it's like this show with puppets, and it's just, if you remember the show that Robert Smigel did.
TV Funhouse?
Take TV Funhouse and then turn it on its head and 10 times it more disgusting.
Man, that's pretty bad.
I mean, this thing is really disturbing. And the worst thing about it is the DVD case has this sweet little girl on it, and it looks like a kid's show. Like, on the front of it, like, hey, you know what? A little kid would really love to watch this. And then at the bottom it says, warning, not for children.
Wundershowzen.
Yeah, Jesus people Christ, are going to want to check it out.
Things you don't talk about in public.
Never heard of it, but I'm scared to check it out now.
Yeah, it's filled with like puppets that you would think are out of a Sid and Marty Krofft show.
So it's like kind of just creepy puppetry and stuff.
Yeah, it's like Meet the Feebles.
Meet the Feebles.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't sit through Meet the Feebles. That was too damn weird.
Yeah, but
let's have a Peter Jackson marathon. Let's watch King Kong and then Meet the Feebles.
Dun, and then dun. Go, at what point did he make this film?
This is when he must have been very
bad taste,
sad.
Meet the Feebles.
Bad taste, brain dead, or dead alive.
Dead alive,
dead alive is a
dead
genius
alive is awesome.
Film. Now, I don't use the word genius very often, Steven. Only like 20 times per show, but Dead Alive, that's a genius movie.
You know, I'm going to tack on three more at the last moment.
All
maybe
right.
four. Just to, you know, round it out properly. Memoirs of a Geisha is coming out. If you like art direction, you might want to check that out. Everything else about the film sucked.
I also love memoirs.
Yeah.
Where geishas go to die.
I'm all about the memoirs. They're banging. Get Rich or Die Trying, 50 Cent's film. Or, I'm sorry, 50 Cent's film.
Ooh, 50 Cent.
Directed by, of all people, Jim Sheridan. Quite possibly the whitest Irish man alive.
He should have gotten Peter Hyams to direct it.
Yeah, I think maybe then they could have thrown in some dinosaurs or time travel.
Time travel, vegetation.
Throw in some Fisher Stevens in there.
And if Fisher Stevens quite possibly playing an Indian.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Maybe throw a robot in there who's alive.
And last but certainly not least, the Sharon Stone classic Sliver with Billy Baldwin in its unrated edition.
That movie sucked.
I know. The funniest thing about the movie was that it had Tom Berenger and Martin Landau in it.
That was a little... Man, what the hell was that movie?
Damn you, Mulberry Bill!
There was just another, you know, they were trying to capitalize on the Basic Instinct thing.
Yeah.
And Sharon Stone still looks somewhat decent.
I remember seeing that in the theater, and when it ends, I'm like, huh?
And what?
There was no discernible plot at all. And I remember even reading that the studio decided to scrap the whole helicopter crashing on volcano ending. And I was like, where the hell would that have fit in this movie? What the hell?
Helicopter crashing into a volcano?
Yeah, and they totally scrapped that ending.
What, after she found out that Billy Baldwin was the guy watching everyone?
And remember how it ends is she shoots up all of his TVs and goes, get a life. And crash to black. Credits.
End Billy Baldwin crashing into a volcano in a helicopter.
Yes, but it was directed by Ira Levine.
I thought it was directed by, Sliver was directed by Philip Noyce, I thought.
This is Ira Levine. Maybe it's a name like Alan Smith.
Yeah, it's a pseudonym. Yeah. He's like, I take my name off of this. That's all I'm saying.
You know what? I think maybe Ira Levine might be a pseudonym.
It's possible.
No, it isn't. It's a real person.
Oh, my God. What did he direct
Good
after Sliver?
Lord. Oh, and he was born in 1929.
What? Wow. All right. Is that all you got this week, Bill?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, guys, that's another episode in the can. We got another thing to add to our historical library, Bill. I'll be sending you the master tape soon, and much like the Smithsonian, they'll be on display next week. That's right. We like to get our stuff out there right away.
If you'd like a written copy of this.
A written transcript. Now, remember, guys, I know we haven't been on, but next Friday, chat night. Friday night chats. And Steven will be there. Right, Steven?
I'll be there.
I'm just going to sign in as Steven and chat to people.
I started my own video game review site. If anybody... I'm still putting games on there, but it's vanessasvideogamereviews.blogspot.com if you want to check it out.
So, Pong, thumbs up.
Yes, Pong, yes.
Donkey Kong.
Hubert rocks the house.
Dragon's Lair. Popeye.
Tempest.
Y'all be adding more games.
I love Tempest and Dig Dug.
You're a shark.
I just want to tell our listeners to go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send us a nice little email, some fan mail. Tell us how much you love me. And maybe you want to call into the show like that redneck earlier, 1-206-202-3491.
If any of the female fans want to send me, you know, pictures of their breasts or anything,
you can reach me
at mulberrybill@gmail.com.
At Pueblo, Colorado, for your free catalog.
010125.
For your naturalization kit.
Yeah. What the hell were those things in Pueblo, Colorado?
I don't know.
So also, you know, go to nowheremulberry.com. You can check out our message board. I still write on it. No one else does. But, hey, I'll correspond with you if you want. Vanessa does sometimes.
I just put a video game review on there, actually.
I want to thank everyone for being very patient about episode 28. I mean, my house flooded, all right? I can't do my show. I can't do the show.
Can't leave and go to the studio with your house flooded.
Oh, okay. I could have sat in a canoe and done the show. But, you know, I didn't really feel like it. All I know that I'm glad we're doing the show again. It's great. It's good stuff.
Yeah. It's Bill's great. Back.
Really good stuff.
It's banging.
It's a banging show we got. We got The Sopranos. There's a lot of good new TV shows coming out, like The Evidence. You know, we don't need Alias anymore because we got Orlando Jones. That's all I'm saying. Jennifer Garner? No.
And I've been watching all these CSI shows. I got picked for jury duty. I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm so ready.
All you got to do that, Steven, is I watch a lot of procedurals on TV and how this stuff goes. They go, cut him from the list.
Law and Order, favorite show.
I think he knows everything. Oh, and I want to say something. I meant to mention this earlier during the blowout segment. We were talking about that show. But do you guys watch Bravo?
Sometimes.
Not anymore.
When they talk, if you watch any commercial on Bravo, they go, Bravo, a new show.
About hairdressing.
And they end every sentence with the guy in a can or something. Like he's like
they change the inflection on his voice.
Project
Runway.
You know, new this
Tuesday.
What the hell's going on there?
What are you doing watching Bravo?
My channel changer's stuck on Bravo. I have to watch it permanently.
Clicker?
All I know is it's banging.
It's banging.
It's banging.
Now, we'll be back next week with an all-new episode of Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 29. Thanks a lot, guys. Check you later.
Do it for you. Do it for a little Kim Sung and the boo. Yeah, save the orphan. Come on, everybody. Save the orphan.
Scream.
Casting.